basically nominate one for tonight's proceedings. But prior to doing that, we first need a roll call. So, Sarah, if you could start us off with your then
Sure,
I
should have been putting my glasses on. Steve Moore, Gerard Albers, Lauren Clark, Brian Fitzgerald,
here.
Jeff Christensen, Tom Cohen,
here.
Mahal Abid,
here.
John Merrill,
here.
And Greg Yeager,
here.
Okay, at this point in time, in order to proceed, we could get technically nomination, you can do consensus, whatever you want, but need a name for chair for tonight's proceeding.
Brian.
Want me to do it?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Nominate Brian.
Okay. I'll second.
All right, motion.
Aye.
All right, we'll get back on track now. Okay. I haven't done this too many times, but I went ahead and just typed up a little checklist for you.
Oh, I've got it here. Okay, thank you. I'll entertain a motion for approval of the minutes for the last meeting, which was August 12th.
Move approval of the minutes as written.
Second. All in favor, all opposed, say nay. I'm going to do Sam Raven's variation on the Robert's Rules of Order. We have, first of all, are there any public comments that don't pertain to one of the applications before us? Seeing none, we'll move on to the first application.
We have Rohail Finney's the conference phone to call into one of the representatives for the applicant who couldn't be here in person.
Okay.
His name is Peter Patton.
Peter Patton?
Yep.
This is Peter.
Hi, Peter. You're on with the Board of Adjustments.
Okay.
Whom are you calling in?
So, this is Peter Patton with Patton Associates. I'm representing the applicant for the bird setback variant.
He's representing.
Is that also too dark? Huh? We're trying to make it so the PowerPoint's more visible. Is this too dark?
Oh, I see.
The same last time.
So I think that, are we going to have some other people here that are for the application? They're going to stand and say some things. I think Peter's going to say some things and go through the PowerPoint that we have. Is that accurate? If you guys want to stand at the podium, so you could add comments to what Peter's discussing.
Sure. My name is Scott Berg. I'm a homeowner here in 35925 Agate Creek Road. Been at Steamboat since 2010, so 9 years. I work at Deer Park Road, and we're asking for a variance of an open air structure that on an existing patio. Not only you can see it, so we put together a nice PowerPoint slideshow and answering the reasonings. So with that, Peter, if you want to start going through the slideshow we put together.
Just one.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Is this the applicant that asked for a site review?
No. No, that one will do a
Okay. Go ahead. Peter,
okay,
I think
you guys ready for the PowerPoint?
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Scott. Yes, Peter Patton with Patton Associates representing the applicant. for the bird setback variance. I appreciate the opportunity to be attending by phone this evening. I wish I could be there, but it didn't work out with my schedule to be there in person. So I appreciate the accommodation of letting us do it this way. Steve, are you going to be doing the slides?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so let's go to start the first slide and just the intro side. Let's go to the property location slide.
Okay.
Is it on there?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the general vicinity of the property, and as Scott mentioned, that the address there that's highlighted is the residence. So this is kind of the big picture showing the Dakota Ridge subdivision or a portion of it. To the south of the property, that whole open space is part of the Humboldt Ranch LPS open space. So that is open space for at least 40 years or so, and probably most likely forever. You can see there are homes on either side of the site there, and so the next site, go ahead, Steve, and zoom in to the site aerial view.
Okay.
So this, as you can see, is the same aerial, only we're zooming in right on the residence and the area where we're proposing the improvements here. So to the right of the circular portion of the driveway, that light area there, which is somewhat circular, is an existing patio. It's been there for many years. And then to the right of that patio, you can see the ponds. There's two of them there. And they connect, and it's a very nice improvement. It's a very nice outdoor area. And you can see, obviously, where the driveway comes in from the road, Agate Creek Road to the north. And so go to the next slide, please.
Okay.
This is a photo of the existing improvement. So if you look at the lower right-hand photo, I'm standing basically up on the driveway there, on the edge of the driveway, looking down at that concrete, or the patio, flagstone patio that's existing. And then the upper left continues the same view, but it is of the pond. One thing to note here is the grade change, and I probably took this picture, I would say that lower patio area is probably, and Scott would know better than me as well as Steve, but 12 to 15 feet below where I'm standing.
Correct.
So there's deep topography that surrounds these improvements. So let's go to the next slide and we'll show you the site plan.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this is kind of the existing conditions plan along with the site plan. You can see the property line on the south and the east. You can see if you look at the existing patio area, that rectangular shape, which says open roof, that is the open roof structure that's the focus of this hearing. And it's about 33 feet by, Steve, help me with 33 by about 25.
The supported area is about 18 by 28. Roof overlay
okay.
Is about 22 by 31.
Okay, so the proposal is to renovate the existing concrete patio with a sand concrete patio that would be underneath this open roof structure. And you can see the little squares there are the roof support columns. So it would still be, the closest column would still be 19 feet away from the property line, and the other one to the east would be 25 feet or so away from the property line. I also highlighted on here what I was just talking about earlier, where there's steep topography going down from the driveway to the landscape improvement. Again, to the south, you can see the Humble Ranch open space. There's a lot of mature trees to the east and to the south. And then as you move off to the east there, you can see there's an existing cistern, but more importantly, a leach field, which we just got the plans, the original plans for the leach field and the septic tank this weekend. We were able to add that to the site plan. So that really, that leach field and septic tank really eliminate that whole upper ladder area from really construction of pretty much anything. So let's go to the next slide.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the open roof structure that's proposed. You can see some of the outdoor kitchen appliances in that upper elevation. But it indeed is simply a roof over an outdoor kitchen. There's no building here. There's no walls. There's no different or separate uses involved. It's just a roof over an outdoor kitchen. So let's go to the next slide.
Okay.
So this is kind of an analysis of the impact here, again, from that bigger, higher view. I've highlighted in yellow the area of the outdoor kitchen. You can see that the Humble Ranch open space is large, and there's no uses or even trails or anything around there. There's mature trees that screen the view from the residence to the east. There's no visibility from the road because of the low elevation of this, and where I talked about the topography where it sits low. And that's very important as we get into the criteria. And so this is just very well screened from both neighbors. And as you probably know, the neighbors have all written letters and agreed that they think that there's no objection whatsoever to this proposal. They're happy with it.
Peter?
Next slide.
This is Brian Fitzgerald. Have there been letters submitted from the neighbors?
Yes, and I will bring
that
up.
That's my understanding, yes.
I did receive some in the past, like, 2 days, which was after the staff packet went out. So that'll be a point of correction in my staff report, that we did receive some emails of support saying that they approve of this project from adjacent property owners.
And do we know where those property owners are located?
They're the immediately adjacent on either side.
And how many emails are there?
I received two.
Thank you.
Okay, to proceed?
Yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Okay, let's go to the slide let's go to the slide Homeowners Association Compliance, please.
Okay.
So we all understand that Homeowners Association regulations are subordinate to Brough County zoning, but it's really important in this case to understand that the Homeowners Association rule that would apply to building this somewhere else, which would be up by like where the leach field is, I guess. But if you go through and just read these rules a little bit, you know, you don't take long to come to the conclusion that by taking those improvements in the roof structure and putting them up closer to the road, up higher, it's not only going to be visible from the road, but it's going to be visible from at least one of the neighbors, if not two. So the conclusion here is that there is no alternative site that can be approved by the Homeowners Association. Next slide. So let's go through the criteria. Criteria number one has to do with peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties. Moving this to another location would be an exceptional practical difficulty due to the location of the existing improvement. And then the other part of number one is unnecessary and unreasonable hardship. And as I mentioned, this would exist if the applicant were forced to relocate the improvement, because it wouldn't be approved by the Homeowners Association. And they're all beautiful existing landscape improvements, and it would be unreasonable and unnecessary to relocate them and to make them more visible. So number two has to do with the circumstances creating the hardship, and the patio, the landscaping, and the pond, septic tank, and leach field have all been in place for many years. So next slide. Criteria number three has to do with topography, challenges, shape, the physical characteristics of the lot. And as I've mentioned several times, there is severe topography that actually benefits the lack of visibility. And so the topography together with the visibility regulations that the existing improvements represent truly an exceptional situation. Number four, that the variance is granted will not diminish the value used for enjoyment of adjacent properties or curtail the desirable light aired open space in the neighborhood, nor change the character of the neighborhood. Well, those existing improvements in that location are the best spot on the property for this, and the neighbors obviously agree. If it had to be moved, it would be more visible, and it could change the character of the neighborhood. And there's no impact whatsoever on Humble Ranch open space. So it's really, the proposal doesn't have an impact on the character of the neighborhood. And then the last, number five, has to do with the zoning regs in Ralph County, and I have to say that if we had to move it, why would you take a nice open area off the property that's closest to the road and build something in it that would be, disturbing the natural environment and adding to visual pollution. So the conclusion in the last slide is that the applicant is respectfully requesting that setback variance be granted. We believe strongly that it meets the criteria for evaluation. And just to summarize, it's important as the board considers this to include this isn't an enclosed structure with walls and a door and a use, and introducing a new use, in an area close to another property. It's just an open roof over an existing use that's going to be renovated. But there's no change in use involved here, and it's not a building. So second point is, it just really needs to remain where it is. Those are beautiful existing improvements, and there's really no alternative location. The topography is a really important factor there. I haven't really mentioned this much, but to have 50-foot setbacks on a 2.5-acre lot representing almost 60% of the property is also, I think, unreasonable. I mean, those are the facts, that's what it is, but that also really restricts the area of buildability on the property. And finally, again, the HOA regulations really prohibit moving this to another location on site. And that's the end of my presentation, and I'm obviously here to answer questions, as is Stephen Scott. Thank you.
Yeah, I just thank you, Peter. I just have a few quick words. Why we're going through this? Why are we doing this? I have three kids, 6, 4, and 2, and we have this beautiful place down there. And moved there in 2014, and I realized no one goes down there. And they're in the house. And so wanted to activate the area and went through this. And obviously, if we didn't live in such a harsh climate, we could get around not having an open-air structure. But given the climate that obviously everyone knows, this is kind of what we've had to come up with. So I think I'd ask for your consideration for this. And appreciate your time and hearing us out.
Any further comments to get the applicant? If not, we'll close that portion of the meeting and open. Well, first of all, do any of you guys have any questions of the applicant?
The only thing that I, when I look at this, the only thing I see is that you have the driveway, you have the pond, this is the area that's being considered. What's on the other side of this little pond there? Why is that not usable? I realize that there, the leaf field stuff is down there, but it looks like there's enough space.
You can see the...
I see the cistern.
Yeah, so you can see all these trees. You can't really tell, but there's a river, well, stream, I should say, that comes actually through...
This is a seasonal?
Trees, that's right. That's right. It's about maybe from me to the table.
Okay.
That comes through there. So, you know, if you're... Obviously, here you're kind of in the same issue of the setback. And how would you really get down to it? You got the cistern here, so.
Anybody else? I've got a couple of questions. The ponds, did they serve a purpose other than aesthetic?
My understanding, maybe Steve knows too, when they built the house, they actually required them for some reason, the double ponds.
So the answer to my question is that you don't know?
I'm not fully aware if there was a requirement, but for some reason that's sticking in my head.
And they are man-made from what I...
They are man-made, yeah.
That again.
So they just are fed by groundwater?
That's right.
Well, they have liners, and the cistern, it helps keep them full, because that cistern is overflow water.
Okay.
Have there been any discussions with the Homeowners Association regarding the proposed improvement?
Yeah. We submitted it all to them. And they approved it all. So when we were going through this, we didn't know it was a 50-foot setback. We thought it was 15. It's our own fault. So we went and developed the whole plan and took pictures and went through the HOA process and hired Steve. And then we, you know, he started looking through it and said, oh, no, guys. And that's when we were kind of surprised, because we were building, in our mind, it's an open air. But so, yeah, so it all got, it's approved and ready to go.
Were there any other locations discussed with the Homeowners Association?
No.
So we're being asked to conclude on the basis of the association's documentation and our view of it, that there is, that the association wouldn't approve another location. Is that my understanding?
Well, I think there's more to it than that. I believe it's also because of the usability. I mean, the topography, the leach fields, I mean, frankly, if it's not in this location, I'm not going to do it. The whole point is the family to go down and enjoy the ponds and the beautiful environment in the open field. And, you know, if it had to be tweaked, if we could have tweaked it, obviously we would have done it to avoid this. But Steve knows that we looked at every different way to adjust it, to twist it, to push it back, to change it, and it just wasn't feasible.
I think if it goes on the other side of the ponds, like next to the cistern, then you're, you know, you run into the problem that topography pushes you up, and then you're, it's like a straight visual line from the road up the driveway to that location.
Well, not only that, over there, my neighbor would be looking right at it. So, right, her house is here, she'd be looking right at it with the topography. And the whole spirit of this is that neighbors won't see it, they won't be a part of it, it won't be in their vision. And I believe she's right, the road would see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a direct shot from the road when you're looking at the driveway. Not to mention at that point you'd be building an outdoor kitchen.
Where this is it's sunken. It's just low down, so you can't see it from the road, you can't see it from the houses. Really, only people could see it is if you come up in a snowmobile or by horse on the 10,000 acres here. That's it, but the topography starts coming up more, and here, she'll see it straight on, she'll see that, and the road will see it.
And I think a big aspect, too, is just, you know, would you really want an outdoor kitchen next to the leach field? I don't think that would...
Well, the water comes from next to your leach field, if it's coming out of that cistern.
But I'm looking for something in the package that shows us where the road is.
You're about maybe 20 feet from the road, 10 feet from the road, right at that turn right there.
That's okay, I found it.
I was
going to
say, we found a page in the package, page 12.
And that road is actually going up a hill. So it's not flat.
And was, did I read somewhere in this packet that there was a variance obtained for the building of the house?
No, that was,
no, that, was the other.
That was a previous.
Say again?
That was probably the previous month's variance application that we heard.
Okay.
You know, to me, this whole thing is that the boundary that's proposed to be violating is one that could be an issue in the future. I mean, that's really what the thing is. All the other things, I mean, you provided good explanation about that, but it's this, the Humble Ranch boundary, that people could say, well, the odds of, I live right next to Humble Ranch as well. And, geez, I don't want that to be developed either, you know. And I hope it isn't, but...
We have sent them messages for their feedback, just mm-hmm. haven't gotten it.
Yeah. So, it's a tough call.
Any more questions for the applicant? And...
Yes, I'll have one more. For your HOA, is there any kind of formal petition that you can make or anything like that for variances for vision or anything? If everybody's on board, but it is seen by the road or something like that, are there any HOA requirements that you can kind of submit?
It's my understanding you could go before the HOA board and ask for anything.
Okay.
Yeah. That doesn't mean they've approved it. We asked to put a shed, you know, a nice one, right here, and they denied it due to the being able to visually see it. So we know how strict they are. But look, I mean, we're still 19 feet back. It's the variance. It's hard to do stuff around our property. Put a lot of work, a lot of money, a lot of time. I think it would be a really great thing to have with the kids. So I hope that you'll support this. And we have the support of the neighbors. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions of the applicant or his representatives? We'll close that portion of the meeting and open it for discussion among us.
Did you want staff comments about the application at all?
We have them, but do you have something you would like to add to that?
I was just going to have a few follow-up items from what the applicant brought up. It's pretty brief. This visual is looking not very good on the projector. However, I apologize for the quality of this. However, what you can barely see here is this is the location of the house. This is the location of that proposed structure. And, I mean, there are areas within, you know, that building envelope area that are outside of that 50-foot setback that are flat and accessible that could be built on, particularly the area that my laser pointer is over now, that currently has like an outdoor fire pit showing on their flat. It's much easier to see here. Up in this area, and I've got kind of a picture of that area that's in your staff packet. But also, I just wanted to point it out to you again, this is the area that they're proposing to build. But this is that northwest section of the property that is outside of the 50-foot setback that's lacking site constraints, you know, based upon the county regulations. And again,
is there a fire there?
It's showing on their site plan, which is in your packet. It's actually right. The flat of their parcel, which is on page 18. It's the second to last page. But it's showing an outdoor fire pit in that vicinity, on that northwest section of the property that is outside of the 50-foot setbacks. So from the perspective of staff, that area is lacking site constraints. You know, per the Broward County zoning regulations, that's a perfectly buildable area on the parcel. So that's kind of what we're looking at that doesn't pass the threshold of, you know, having exceptional topography on the site that would prohibit some form of development. Further, I know they mentioned Humble Ranch, so that property, that open space, it is an open space under an LPS. In 20 years, it'll hit that 40-year mark. At 40 years, they're able to apply for amendments to the LPS until they're open space. So at some point in the future, I mean, the potential is greater than zero when that becomes developed. So just a note on that. And again, I did receive two emails from adjacent property owners indicating that they support this application.
Can you put those up on the board? Is it just an email?
Yeah, just an email. I have copies of them in here that I can pass around.
I thought there was three of them.
Yeah, we got three.
I've only gotten two. I wonder if one. And you guys said that there was more for me, but I couldn't.
Stephen, are they very long or just?
They're just. I support that application.
Okay.
That's
all.
Thanks, Stephen.
if it sways either way, I think we have three. We can forward that.
And I fully trust that the applicant has the support of neighboring properties because if the location that they're choosing doesn't have the visual impacts for adjacent property owners.
There are two of them there. Do we have any further questions of the applicant or the applicant's representatives? No. I'll open the meeting for a discussion among the members of the Board of Adjustment.
John Reed, public comment first, just in case there's
no. Say again.
Public comment.
Is there anybody here from the public? Okay. Thank you. John?
A question for staff. Did you amplify a bit number three under the staff recommendation, page 4 of 19? From what I've heard, except for the word shallowness, I disagree with virtually every word of this about the variance. I mean, I think there is exceptional narrowness. There are complications with shape and topography.
I mean, so the applicant seems to have chosen the only section on the property that has some sort of exceptional topography. And as you can see, I mean, part of it is, I mean, there's a small slope there, but part of it is man-made by building these retaining walls. And a 2.5 acre parcel zone MRE is, you know, by today's standards, it would need to be 5 acres. However, 2.5 acres is not completely unheard of. And there are other parcels out there, you know, within that shape. I mean, there's still a pretty sizable building envelope that they're able to do projects within. It's not completely limited. You know, it doesn't seem exceptional from staff's perspective based upon other similar parcels around the county.
Well, the patio and the man-made ponds already violate the setback. And this is a mere unenclosed addition to that same place that has already been violated.
So the zoning regulations recently went through some amendments, and now on-grade patios are allowed within the setback.
Say again?
The zoning regulations recently went through some housekeeping amendments, and now on-grade patios are allowed in the setback.
Well, and actually, that just limited the size of them. Before that, any amendment, any at-grade patio, anything, you know, 30 inches or less as far as a low deck or flagstone patio would have been allowed. The modifications, the amendments that Tegan was talking about just put a size to that. But depending on when these things were built, the setback, by definition, is a structure setback, and neither the ponds nor this flagstone patio would be considered a structure, so they're
so they would,
not
yeah.
in violation.
They would not have had to pull a building permit to do
correct
the patio.
Correct.
Further, the zoning regulations do allow what's considered a small structure, so a structure up to 120 square feet in size within the setback. It's just that the covered area that they're trying to build is greater than 600 square feet, so. I mean, they can do a small structure there, but they're limited to that 120 square feet of covered area.
Okay.
Great.
So my opinion with this is an improvement. So this isn't a new use. This isn't anything that the person is trying to do differently on their land. This use has already been established, has already been there. They're trying to modify and build a bigger structure that is basically covering up that area. Because of that, I think that use has already been there.
this site improvement doesn't show a hardship on it because the use has already been there. They're just trying to add to it. With that and the having other areas in around the place where you could actually have this be serviceable, like fire pit and that, doesn't show lack of restraint. So to me, the number one criteria wouldn't follow. And so that's why I'd be going with the no.
Well, I'm afraid that, you know, the county codes are really straightforward in this case. And I can't come up with a hardship to fill in that number one criteria. So, you know, I have to say no.
I agree with Don. I think that the codes are pretty straightforward, and I can't justify that either.
We are constrained by statute as well as by the county zoning resolution to allow encroachment within the setbacks only if five criteria are met. And the five criteria are spelled out in our packets, and I believe that your representatives, not you personally, have copies of those criteria. I'm having difficulty with the first criteria because there are other areas where you could build the proposed structure. We are not constrained by what the Homeowners Association may or may not do. If the Homeowners Association has approved this, it's a fact that we can take into consideration. But the more restrictive of the two, either the criteria that we are constrained by or an action of the Homeowners Association binding upon me, I too am having difficulty seeing where the first criteria is met. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, motion for denial on PL 19154.
You're making a motion to deny or?
Yes.
Okay, and what is the reason for that?
For denial will be number.
There's the finding of facts on page 4.
Finding of facts for number 1, peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties or unnecessary and reasonable hardship will not be imposed on the property owner if provisions of this resolution are strictly enforced because of Route County zoning regulations would allow such structure to be located elsewhere on the property.
And are you saying that there are other parts of the property on which the structure could be located?
Correct.
Is there a second?
A second.
Discussion?
Can I ask a question?
Peter, I think we closed that part of the presentation.
Okay, I just thought that elsewhere was somewhat vague.
I'm sorry. Are you asking for a clarification of the motion?
Yeah.
Anybody else on the board wish to be heard? We have a motion and a second. All in favor of denying the application, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? The motion to deny the application for the reasons stated carries by a vote of 4-1. Move on to.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah.
John, appreciate that. I'll remember the rest of you. Thank you.
What did you say?
That's supposed to be. Oh, we're going to like the little election campaign. That's all. Like the election campaign.
I just have a fan club.
Hi. I have this.
Did I get a threat from that guy? What's that? Did I get a threat from that guy?
Somebody said he'll remember it for election campaigns, and he might be misunderstanding the Board of Adjustment with an elected body compared to an appointed body.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can gather by that comment.
We'll move on to the Brown Garden variance. Is there someone present to speak for the applicant?
I am the applicant.
Oh, who are you?
Do you want me to speak into this?
Please.
My name is Jackie Brown, and I've been a resident of Rouse County the majority of my life. I am here with Russ Garrity, who's the current property owner. Myself and my husband are under contract to purchase this property, and that's supposed to go through fairly shortly. My husband works for CDOT, and he is on a paving crew in Rifle, so he sends his apologies for not being here to support me.
No need to apologize.
Before we start, should we do a synopsis of the site visit?
You know, that might be helpful.
Okay. Or do you want to do it after the applicant talks?
No, if there's been a site visit, mm-hmm. and all of us weren't on the site visit,
yeah.
it would be helpful to introduce into the record.
Could I get raise hands of who went on the site visit?
So it's just Don and John.
Don and John.
Greg.
Greg, you just
neither one was good.
Pictures or aerial or something they could.
Yeah, I've got it on my mind.
So at this point, if any of you that were at the site visit would like to
tell
the others that what you found out there, Tegan will pull up a site aerial, basically, so you can kind of walk through it.
Do you guys think this is the best one?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what I saw from coming from 40, you can see the barn kind of coming up while you're going into Oak Creek. You aren't really having as much visibility of any of the actual house that's located where the Pentagon is.
Should we use the laser pointer maybe?
Yeah, that would be.
Thanks, Jay.
The button with the red line.
So this is the barn. This is the house. So the circle around is that 30-foot radius. What we saw right here is a very steep embankment. Basically, right once you get right there, the trees are almost at your eye level from down below. So a very unbuildable area. This right here is where the site impact from the town of Oak Creek. From right here, it's a very beautiful vista looking over Oak Creek area. Then right over here is, you can see some trails right here. In the past, people were parking over there using these trails to access mountain bike trails and different areas like that. I would imagine the applicant will tell you more about those areas. This is kind of the barn in question. This has what is trying to be asked to be the secondary unit Right here, you can see this area, especially like right here to here, is a pretty steep embankment to try and get up the road to access this area. The applicant was explaining to us that because of this restraint, when they built this house originally, the reason why they put this barn here was because to try and get a trailer or anything up there is such a hard, steep embankment that it would be a lot easier to put it down here so that a trailer isn't going to be fishtailing or anything dangerous right there. And that's why they decided to have the barn right there. If you could, that's all I have.
Well, I agree completely with everything Greg said. The one thing this doesn't show well is how steep it is.
It's a little red line on the face of the... It's very hard to find.
So
it's hiding.
Right there. And then I'll point. Nope, wrong one.
Best you can please yourself.
I mean... Whoops! Show the steep here.
Oh, no. All right. Okay. So... That's the button right there.
Well, I'll just say you already planned it. This really doesn't show how extremely steep it is. And I can imagine a horse trailer trying to get up there in the winter would just be impossible. This just doesn't show how steep it is.
Yeah, well, the question is about residents, because really the barn is already located down at a lower level. So I don't think there's really a question about horse trailers getting up to the house where somebody would be taking domicile as a caretaker. However, you're totally right. It is a very steep area, and I think the question is it practical to think that you could build a building there as a caretaker's building, rather than utilizing the upstairs of the existing barn.
Can I put this in context a little bit? And Chad, correct me if I'm wrong. We're not being asked for a variance of any setback requirement. What we are being asked is to grant a variance, I'm going to call it a distance variance, between the two existing improvements. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
They're replatting this area?
They're subdividing 180, roughly, acre parcel into this 35-acre residential parcel, and then the remainder will become a portion of the town of Oak Creek, a portion of Rowe County that I think Rowe County is going to purchase or something along those lines, and then also a conservation easement with a trail system, a public trail system on it.
So they're subdividing the property. They have to be replatting.
I don't know if they're platting or if they're just doing the meets and bounds description. The applicant could probably provide more information on that. Because it wasn't specifically part of the distance that's being required, I didn't include that in the staff packet because it goes way into the weeds. Then
It kind of takes you away from the five criteria. But to answer your question, this Mr. Garrity's land is being divided. The interests are being divided.
And the distinction may be that there's not a requirement in the county for replatting if there's a subdivision?
Well, we're discussing that right now because there are some, because Oak Creek's getting a parcel in the town of Oak Creek, Rock County is getting a piece of that, you know, that are just smaller, you know, much less than 35 acres. It's going through a division of land for public purpose. And I'm in the process right now discussing with the county attorney whether or not that can be done via resolution or if the plat has to be recorded.
So the very last page of your...
But like I said, I encourage you not to get into that too much because...
The very last page of your staff passport indicates what's being divided, essentially, from the existing parcel.
Yep.
You
ready, Jack?
Sure.
Go back to yours.
So I spend the majority of my life in meetings, and so I made this really short, and maybe that was a mistake, but we'll go through the short presentation that I have, and everything is in your packet. And if you have any questions for me or for Russ, who may want to say something, I'd be more than happy to answer anything that's not on here. So I think simply when I did this application for a variance, what I was asking for was to utilize the upstairs of the barn as a SDU and not build a new structure on the property for that purpose. And so I just went through your criteria for the Board of Adjustments. And one was peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties or an unnecessary and unreasonable hardship will be imposed on the property owner if the provisions of this resolution are strictly enforced, because I believe that a unit with the characteristics of an SDU on the property located within a qualified accessory unit exists. And it seems unnecessary and unreasonable of a hardship to build a third structure on the property to host this SDU when one could be turned into that without building. And secondly, there is not and was not ever a reasonable... So there is not and was not ever a reasonable area within 300 feet of the primary residence that is both flat enough and accessible without causing hardship. And I'll just note that are you directors, commissioners?
You're not. They're appointed.
Appointee Fitzgerald's point that the accessibility is the big issue.
We're members of the board.
Members of the board.
Members of the board. Thank you. the access is the thing that I think my husband and I get hung up on, is just that carving into the hillside to do additional roads seems like the biggest hardship to us. And so, as Mr. Garrity can tell you, their choice to build the barn where they did nine years ago was just that it made the most sense for the access reasons. And he has a good story. He can tell you about that a little bit further, too. But on the site plan, which I'm sorry I didn't put in my presentation,
okay,
but I think you have it.
They have a handful of site plans in their staff packet, particularly page 15 of 18, shows a good visual of the property. Jack, do you want me to grab your packet?
Please. I have my packet. I just, some of the things that I have in here weren't included. Anyway, I just wanted to point out the leach field that I don't believe was pointed out initially. So the leach field is above the barn, in between the barn and the house, which makes that second, and I apologize now, I realize I should have put the whole thing up here. It would be impossible to build over that leach field. So that, the underground utilities, and then cutting the road, like I mentioned, and having a turnaround into the hill, or harvesting the forest that was pointed out earlier, in addition, dealing with the erosion and the runoff, all of those things would have to occur to create access to a new building. And then I wanted to point out, too, I did a fair bit of research, and also staff was super helpful. Just generally speaking, so thank you to them for that. But this made sense to me. The subdivision layout shall be designed to preserve natural topography and existing vegetation to the greatest extent possible, while still meeting the technical requirements of these regulations, which were noted as street width, street grade, and access. Overlot grading shall not be allowed. I don't know what overlot grading is, so I don't know if that's even pertinent. But 3.1F also stated that provisions should be made to preserve as an open space any natural features of the site that would enhance the subdivision, i.e. the unusual rock formations, lakes, rivers, streams, trees, or attractive relief features. So It's my opinion that building a third structure with these peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties would create an unnecessary or unreasonable hardship. Two of your variance criteria are that circumstances creating the hardship were created subsequently through no fault of the appellant, because the barn, also I saw termed in some of the minutes as qualified accessory structure, was built in the most logical location 12 years ago by the original owners, and all the needed infrastructure is available there to host the SDU. And two, the topography, leach field forest, and underground utilities were also in place prior to the barn being built, contributing to the obvious location of the barn. The driveway was established before the primary residence was built, which was in 1998, and contributed to the obvious locations for both the barn and the primary dwelling unit. And I'll say, I won't speak for Mr. Garrity, but in 1998, the 300-foot setback didn't exist, so had they been thinking that they were eventually going to have an SDU above the barn, you know, that wouldn't have really been a thought that would have come into play back in 1998. And additionally, I restated, the barn has all the necessary connections to host the SDU, so that's twice, my apologies. Three, the property for which a variance is requested possesses an extraordinary and exceptional situation or condition which does not occur generally in other property in the same zone district. So I have to tell you that the majority of Rock County is zoned AF. Did you know that? Like, the whole thing. So I can't stand before you and tell you what generally exists in Rock County, because as we all know, it's pretty varied from top to bottom. But I think what is unique about this property is that it was initially a site for oil and gas, so it had these flat peat pads. One, they were both where the barn was located, and then the flat parcel where the house is. So I think that it's unique that it had that the original or the second owners that chose to build here took what was sort of just an oil and gas site and made it into this really amazing parcel with both their home and the barn, but also the conservation easement that is going to give public access to our community, which we can talk about in a little bit as well. So according to standard slope descriptors, the existing infrastructure combined with a strong slope, which is claimed 15 to 30%, topography is extraordinary in Rock County and does not generally exist. So the oil and gas with the strong slope topography to me seemed unique. To both meet the subdivision requirements of 3.1G and the 300-foot rule would be a considerable hardship. And I just wanted to note that in my exceptional research, I could not find the definitions of exceptional and extraordinary in the land use code, and the variance criteria don't refer to a buildable lot. However, the subdivision regulations did, and they state that unbuildable is greater than 30% slope, but it doesn't say that everything less than 30% is not a topographical hardship. So I know those of you that were on site spoke to the fact that it is steep, even if it isn't that 30% everywhere. Four, the variance of granted will not diminish the value, use, or enjoyment of the adjacent properties, nor curtail desirable light, air, or open space in the neighborhood, nor change the character of the neighborhood, because if granted, the 172-foot variance to the 300-foot separation standard will not change the location of the barn where the secondary unit is located, or could be located, I should say. And the purpose of the 300-foot standard, according to the minutes that I read, is to reduce the incident of sprawl and encourage clustering. The barn is only visible to some areas of the neighborhood, where it was mentioned before that the house is not visible at all. So if the variance weren't granted, it doesn't take the barn off the property. Five, the variance, if granted, will not be directly contrary to the intent and purpose of the zoning regulations or the Rock County Master Plan, because It will not inhibit any legitimate government interests, such as protecting the health, safety, morals, or welfare of the public. In fact, the current location above the barn increases health and safety with a wide turnaround and low slope road. You don't have to access the house above there and go up the steep driveway. And also, the intent of the 300-foot separation standard is to reduce sprawl, and the location of the SDU is in an existing qualified accessory structure. When I read through the master plan, it outlines policies that will guide future development in the unincorporated portions of the county. The general goal of the plan is to ensure the rural character while accommodating appropriate development. And also, from the Housing Code 1.2.DD, the guidance states that diverse housing opportunities should be available to citizens of Rouse County and designated growth centers. Growth in the county should be consistent with the rural character and should not promote sprawl or an appearance of sprawl. And the preferred pattern of rural residential growth is cluster development with protected parcels of open land. We feel that our property meets these goals. And that's all I have for my slideshow. For you, Russ, would you like to come up and say anything, or do you have any questions for either of us? I would like, I guess, just to briefly mention the story here on the plat. So Russ and his wife have generously allowed folks to ride their bikes and walk and hike the areas with the orange and blue trails for the past 15 years. They're... I don't want to speak for you. Do you want to talk a little bit more about it?
Is it appropriate?
Yeah, at the podium, please.
Yeah, so I can do this very quickly. I promise I'm going to try to not take up a lot of your time. First and foremost, thank you for allowing me to speak and be here. So that is basically the 200 acres that we own. And the orange trails are the ones that have been open to the public for 12 years or so. We get about 3,000 visits a year, believe it or not, which is a pretty big number. So what I was going to speak to is the thought process that went into why we put the house here and why we put the barn here in just a couple of minutes. Fair enough. If you could show the more blown up version of this. Exactly. Okay, so my wife and I have lived here about 30 years. If any of you are married to a woman who loves horses, you know what I'm going to be talking about. We always were going to have a house, and we always were going to have a barn. It was a big question of which one would get built first. I won, the house got built first. The house was built in 1999. The barn was built in 2007. So what we had was 8 years of experience of living here and coming up and down this driveway before we built the barn. There are other places we could have built the barn, but that was the only one that came up for a couple of reasons I'm going to reiterate here. But if you go from that barn all the way to the beginning of the driveway, another third of a mile, a third of a mile at least, it's dead flat. Okay, so you come in dead flat on the driveway, and that's where the barn was built. Now, we wanted it to be closer, but you start coming up that hill up there, and then you come around that turn, and then you come up here. And in that, although it doesn't look it, you get to 30 degree plus slopes at places in that driveway. The only, we couldn't build here, we couldn't come wipe out the trees, we couldn't come here because of the slope stability issues and putting the road in. The only place we could have potentially built was there. And after 8 years of driving up here, it just was not tenable. You could not get a hay truck up there. You could not get a trailer up there. You could not take the horses to the vets in the winter when you need to, when they're colicking or whatever, whatever. You'd be cutting into this slope, too. That looks like it's flat. It's not flat. So you'd be cutting in there and make a big turnaround for the trailers. Long story short, that was the only place that we felt was possible. I have two other pieces of information, then I'll go sit down. We actually, in considering this place, did soil tests both here and here back in 1999 when we were building. And I'm going from memory. I tried to find the soil tests and I couldn't and all that stuff. What I absolutely believe to be true is that these soil tests were much better for building. When you got over into here, you started to get what they called expansive soils. And I'm not even exactly sure what that meant, but it meant it was going to be a problem for building and stuff, and we elected to put the barn down there. The second thing, which I mentioned during the site visit, and this will be my last point, is we, at the time the skylighting regulations were going in, we knew Troy Brookshire, and he asked us to voluntarily join those, and we did. So we've been tried to be very, very conscious of where we put buildings and stuff, just not to put the skyline visual impacts on the community and everything that we do. If you have any questions or anything for me, I'm happy to answer them. I hope that was helpful.
Did you folks have any questions for the applicant?
I have one. How do you handle the sewage out of that barn?
I'm sorry?
How does the sewage get handled from the barn?
Oh, there's a separate. So the house septic system is out here in the leach field
right there.
The barn septic system is right in there, and the leach field is to the right.
Okay, so it exists.
Yes.
And there were permits pulled for the electrical and the plumbing. The building itself was exempt because it was initially an ag building. Yes, sir.
Page 14 of 18, this one right here.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that is a correct representation of the 30-degree slope areas near in that 300-foot boundary? Or would you say that... that you kind of questioned the graphic at all?
So I would have a hard time questioning the excellent GIS staff here at the county. When I did Google Earth, they have a tool where you can approximate slope. I work on water rights issues, not on this kind of things, so I don't know how I came up with the initial calculation showing it was much deeper, but I think it's missing the driveway sloping. When I do the elevation profile on that, it's pretty clear, as Russ said, it's over 30 feet, and I didn't get that until Tuesday of this past week, so I don't have the tools to do anything more. I'm not going to say it's wrong.
Follow up with that, did you ever think of going to an engineer or anything to get a better site survey so that you would see kind of the topographic maps?
So my surveyor did give me a topographic map, which I sent over on Tuesday.
Which is in your staff packet, very last page of your staff packet. So they're showing intervals here, but they don't have it with a graded color like we did. And ours is just showing, you know, the red is 30% or greater, and then everything else is under 30%. So, you know, it could potentially be things that are just under that 30% that are showing this green.
I did ask the surveyor if he could provide me with some slope work, but unfortunately, in the time frame, it didn't work out. So I apologize for that. If that's a, I mean, honestly, we're asking for it to be above the barn because it's the most reasonable location. I think I went through those variance criteria. I'm not in a position to be able to hire additional people to do any more work than what I've already done. So.
Jackie, do you mind if I call you Jackie?
Sure. Absolutely.
You're a contract purchaser?
I am a contract purchaser.
Yeah, you don't own the property now.
Correct, sir. My husband and I are expected to close on that very shortly.
Okay.
But we wanted to come before you early before that happened, just get the ball rolling.
Gotcha. You have access to... I'm going to call it a subdivision plat. It may not meet the technical requirement of a subdivision plat under the county's resolution. How much of the parcel is being purchased by Jack?
Just over 35 acres.
35 acres, and the entire parcel is
It's 35.61.
Yep.
And the entire parcel is?
Currently it's, what was that?
198 acres? Wow. And are you keeping part of the parcel?
No. So this has been a long 3-year process where our goal is to keep the 140-acre park.
Can you come up
with that? Yeah.
So,
apologize.
Thank you.
So just for the, so this is, you're looking at 200 acres, okay?
Yep.
Just roughly. Jackie and Tony would end up with this part, we got it.
Oops, shoot. I'll get you back there. There you go. It's that little tiny red.
Yeah, sure it is. All right. Okay, so again, a 3-year process, I'll make it real quick, but there'll be 35 acres here, right here, that Jackie and Tony will own, and they'll have the house and the barn. There'll be a 140-acre park here. This is the part the county owns. This is the part.
I'll get you back. Sorry.
Very sensitive deal there. This is the part the county will purchase, and this is the part that Town of Oak Creek will purchase.
But you, so, say, you say that the lion's share of the parcel is going to be a park?
Yes, the Yampa Valley Land Trust has. And I will talk about this for hours. I don't want to do that, but there are many people that's come together to make this happen over the last 3 years. The Yampa Valley Land Trust has a grant in there. The Gates Foundation has a grant in there. The Ready people have a grant in there. The Town of Oak Creek, you know, the Route County Commissioners, ourselves, the Browns, everybody. And I'll say one other thing, and I apologize if this sounds horrible, but, you know, the property appraised here, we offered it for sale here because we wanted to create a park. And we're taking this much money because this is the right thing to do for the community. I'm not trying to make ourselves out to be saints or anything, but I'll tell you, this has been the most difficult process to go through for 3 years, and we're trying very hard to get all these parties to do this, the right thing at the same time. You know, everybody has their own take.
The big parcel where the trails are located, is that going to be dedicated to an entity?
It will be owned by the Town of Oak Creek under a conservation easement forever. It will be a park. It will be the Oak Creek Mountain Park. And to get to that point, the Town of Oak Creek is actually spending $0 except for surveying costs and legal costs.
Gotcha.
So the Town of Oak Creek is getting 140 acres with 4.5 miles of existing trail on it for no money except for the cost of the transaction.
And that'll be donated to, it'll be deeded to the,
yes,
Town of Oak Creek.
Yes, and your question before, what Jackie's trying to do, because I screwed up back in the day, is she's trying to get a variance just to say the barn and the house, we put them together not close enough. That's it. That's all we did. And I'm trying to help remedy that.
I hear you.
Okay.
Was a building permit applied for the barn?
Absolutely. But I screwed that up too, okay, just in all candor. So all of the permits for the house and everything were perfect. Then we built the barn in 2007, but it was going to be an ag building. My builder came to me, Mike Teeters, and said, you don't need a, if you build an ag building,
yeah,
you don't need a permit or something like that.
Right.
I guarantee, I said, that sounds good.
Which is true.
Which is true.
So I'm all right.
Guaranteed. And then, you know, but we build everything to code, put in a septic system, put in a leaching field, you know, did all that stuff because she was going to have a bathroom in the barn eventually. That was 2007.
Got it.
2011, one of our friends tanked and she needed a place to live. I said, you've got a big barn, can we build an apartment out there? I said, sure. You know, and then, again, my fault, not Jackie's, I'm telling you. And so that's how we got to this point. And I apologize for anything I've done wrong, but I think we've got a really good thing going here. And I hope that the that you guys will consider the greater good we're trying to create here.
Any board members have questions of the applicant or the applicant's representatives? Do you have someone else here that you'd like to speak?
They're here for public comment, maybe.
My name is Patsy Stewart, and I'm very excited about this. All of this going in, except for this little part right here. Because that's the part that will be annexed into the town of Oak Creek. And all those houses along that side, and then my house is at the very top of that road right there, the end of the red line. And I don't think you guys have any say or anything about that, but I just wanted to... I wanted it to be in the conservation easement also, and that just didn't happen. I don't know why. So that's all I had to say.
I think we did get a letter of support from one of the neighbors, Marianne and Ron Graver. There should be a note in your packet on that, but other than that, I haven't been told of anyone.
Nobody else reached out.
My name is Tamara Resnack, and I'm also an Oak Creek resident, and this is my house right here, and my major concern is this. I have no concerns about this. I have no beef, but I think if this happens, then everything's going to happen, and this would directly impact me right here with what the town of Oak Creek is planning to do with this small triangle. So I'm here pretty much just to listen. And to, again, say that I have no qualms at all about that property there, just how this would affect everything else.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I'm colorful, so that's in color. Not completely. I mean, I can tell that there's blue and something else in there, so I guess that I could see more... of what you're talking about, if I
no,
recognize the color.
The contours make it difficult.
Yeah, but Reg is the color line. It should be maybe
a bit off. It's in your packet as well as the last thing.
I know.
Okay. Did you want me to help explain?
It puzzles me what that was running to show.
Yeah.
It all looks kind of gray to me. Okay. Any further comment? Any questions of the applicant? Or her representatives.
Agree at this point.
We'll close that portion of the meeting and open for discussion among the board members. I'm sorry, staff, I forgot you again.
Well, they did a really thorough job. I'll see that with her back.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to amplify to you?
Just a couple comments clarifying staff's position on this staff report. I mean, the applicant did a wonderful job explaining the entire project and the subdivision and all those things associated with this application. It's kind of a complicating factor. What planning staff attempted to do, instead of looking at the parcel in its entirety, was to really look at the 300-foot radius surrounding the primary dwelling unit to determine, could it have been built within there? So this red shaded triangle, not triangle, square area, is polygon, is showing a skyline zoning. So this is an area that potentially is visible from the town of Oak Creek that would look like a skylined area. So we would not suggest for somebody to build in that area. This line is showing a drainage that goes to the property that those board members that attended the site visit today saw. I mean, it is like a sheer drop off. So this area is, in our opinion, unbuildable because of the slope alone, in addition to the fact that it's showing on our mapping as a water body. This area is a stand of mature aspen trees.
which based upon, you know, some of the criteria that the applicant discussed that are in the subdivision regulations, you know, it doesn't necessarily make it unbuildable, but based upon that Section 3 of the subdivision regulation, there is language that we'd like, you know, provisions to preserve some of those natural features, and a mature state of trees can fall into that category. So staff kind of narrowed in on this area that's directly northwest of the single family residence or the primary residence as the area that we would consider, like, you know, right where those private rails kind of are, which we would consider, you know, the potentially buildable area within that 300-foot radius of the home. I mean, the criteria that we're looking at as buildable aren't taking into account that soils test because we didn't have that information. However, it is under that 30% grade as shown in your staff packet. So that would be, in staff's opinion, the area that could have been built on. And that is why we were recommending denial of the variance application. However, I mean, the applicant has done a great job describing, you know, reasons why they built, why they, where they did. And some of these constraints that staff don't necessarily take into account when they're looking at the buildability of an area. Here are just some additional photos from our site visit today for those of you who did not attend. This is the barn. Here is the barn looking up towards where the primary dwelling unit exists. Here's us walking up the road at some of those steeper sections. And here is essentially on the ground version of that area that we're saying is potentially buildable. That correlates to this area. And in this photo, I'm standing right here, kind of looking up towards that area. So.
Does anyone have questions of staff?
I do. One of the things that I can't help but think about is, has anybody looked at the capacity of that drain field? It's
of the leach field?
Yeah.
No.
Or the reason being, you know I have the same issue.
Yeah.
They're rated for a house with so many bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question would be, is its capacity, the septic system's capacity, which the drain field's a big piece of, is it adequate if you build something up there? Because obviously you're going to have to go to that existing septic system.
I would say likely it's not sized for an additional unit.
It's hard to know. I know where I am.
Yeah. Grant, Russ, do you have an answer for that?
I don't know the answer to this question. So.
Can you stand at the podium, please, just so it catches it on the microphone?
Oh, it cut my phone off.
So,
no, yeah, leave it on. It's for the recorder, actually, and it's not for the amplification.
Is it still on?
Okay, so the house has four bathrooms, and the septic system was sized for four bathrooms. There is not an extra capacity on the existing leach field that is up there.
Okay. Now, staff, is that a consideration?
Well, you could always have re-engineered. Yeah. And it happens every now and then. So you want to put a secondary dwelling unit in an unfinished basement, you know, but it just has to meet environmental health standards.
Yeah. Okay. But the fact is that they did that. They did one down below the barn.
Right.
So, to me, that's a hardship condition, I think.
Because do you have any questions of staff or the applicant?
No, do not.
I've got a couple questions for staff.
Okay.
Chad can anticipate one. We have an existing dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the solution if we say that we're not going to grant the variance?
tear it down?
Removal of components that would make it a dwelling unit.
Sorry.
Yeah, basically, we have a definition of dwelling unit, and you know, it's provisions for living, sleeping, cooking, and sanitation. And if usually the thing you need, the easiest thing to do to remove it from that definition is take out the provision for cooking. So if they took the kitchen out or even took the stove out, there was no provision for cooking, it wouldn't be a dwelling anymore. Then it begs the question, what is it? So if they turned it into a shop, studio, you know, something like that, that would be deemed accessory, it would be fine.
So the solution is to discontinue the use of the portion of it as a residence?
Yes.
And I have to do this, Chad. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Microwave?
You know, we look at it from two sides, the use and the structure. So either one, if it was being used as a dwelling or it met the structural definition of a dwelling, either one of those two would be a violation. And so if it was being used and somebody was had the microwave, it would still be the definition of dwelling because you would have cooking provision in the form of a microwave, and the use would be dwelling. So both would be violated.
So if we were to deny the application, it wouldn't require that to be torn down.
No.
The barn to be torn down, it would require it to be no longer used as a dwelling unit.
Right.
Right.
And structurally modify it so it wouldn't meet the definition of dwelling. Take the stove out, take the kitchen out.
When you're talking about structural modification, you're just talking about taking out the cooking?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Discussion among the board members.
Do you want me to begin?
Go for it.
To me, I think, as with the data that we have right now, number three, where the provision for saying that exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography is something different than other areas in the same zone district, that's going to be the place that I have the hardest time with. I think, you know, potentially tabling it to be able to have a better site survey done where we can have a better contour lines, soil testing, different things that would actually benefit the applicant to show some of these things that haven't been proven in what I've seen could potentially be something that I would be supportive of. Outside of that, with the data that I have at hand, that's where I kind of see the limiting factors of what I've seen on our GIS survey, where there is potential areas that people have been using it as a parking area for the bike and so forth, that would be a hard thing for me to say that this approval would be able to meet all of the criteria.
John?
My concerns with the second finding, in fact, I think the hardship was created by part of the appellant, the Yardy part, out of ignorance, which of course is not an excuse.
The petitioner here is Jamie Brown.
Ben, it's listed as Brown, Garrity, and on top of this.
I just listed it that way because the property is technically still under his name, so I didn't want to claim. I put the contract in there, but I didn't want to claim that it's my property when it's not.
Chad, does a contract purchaser have a standing to?
As Mr. Garrity's representative. Mm-hmm. So we basically look them as a team, if you will. They're both the applicant.
You're right, John.
Okay.
Sorry, I had issues with my dad.
Stand. That's okay. Thank you. From my perspective, I agree with Gary. I I'd like some way to negate that the building can be put on that piece of land, because I observed that piece of land today. I built one a lot worse. But that being said, if there is an issue with the quality of the soil, that's a big deal. And again, we don't have a whole bunch of data with respect to what that slope is. I mean, I can't evaluate that by looking at it. I would guess it's probably more like 20 than 30. So I'm not averse to tabling this until we get more data.
Real. I also agree. I think number three is the same problem for me, and I think that having a soil test of that other build site would be quite useful. So I'd also be in favor of tabling this.
Okay.
May I have a word in your deliberation?
Yeah.
I would just like to mention that I received a staff report on Tuesday, 4 days ago, and I have a job, so I didn't have a lot of time to work on this. I paid over, I think, $1,300 for this application. I'm not sure, so hiring for a soils test to come back, what are the other things that you would need? This was already very expensive for me, so I'm just trying to gauge. You saw the driveway. The driveway's not going to change to get up to that parcel there. I would plead with you that the hardship that I mentioned in my application be considered
I'm going to do
for what it was.
A little bit unusual. I'm going to take a straw vote. So you get some idea of where you're going. I have a good idea of where I think the board is going.
Okay.
Would a solution of eliminating the cooking facilities be acceptable to you? Let me take the straw vote first, and then I'll ask you the question again.
Can I just have a clarifying question?
Sure.
So if we eliminated the cooking facilities, how would someone live there? How would it be a secondary dwelling unit any longer? I mean, that's what I'm asking for. You're saying, no, it could just be a studio, or?
Well, the suggestion was made, and it was just a whimsical suggestion.
Okay.
That it could be used for something other. And what we're dealing with is a definition of dwelling unit. And a dwelling unit, apparently, right, Jim, one of the things you look at to determine whether it's a dwelling unit is whether there are cooking facilities. If you're asking me what would a person do if that person or those people were living there, I can't speculate on
it. I guess what I'm asking is if...
I think I can clarify
something,
Jackie. If the Board of Adjustment were to turn down this variance, then that secondary dwelling unit could not be used as a secondary dwelling. Doesn't mean you have to tear anything down. You just can't use it as a dwelling, and it can't meet the definition of a dwelling. The easiest way to have it not meet the definition of dwelling is just take the stove out. So that's what you're left with if they deny this application.
Let's take the straw vote just to see where we're going.
Okay.
If a motion were to be made to approve the application, how would you vote?
I would say denial.
I would vote in favor of it.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
Oh, well, it's not a spot. I mean, we have to interpret, we're here to interpret their situation versus the zoning regulations. Mm-hmm. And with number three's problem, I probably have to deny.
Hey, before we go, Mr. Chair, can I talk about number three for a second?
Sure.
Is that, you know, when you read number three, and Tegan and I had gone over this one more than just a couple times when the staff report was created, that, let me scroll up to it here, it's worded that the property for which a variance is requested possesses exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary and exceptional situation or condition which does not occur generally in other property in the same zone district. You know, I would say that this variance request, the separation of the primary and secondary dwelling unit, really doesn't fit into that criteria because it only involves the 300-foot circle around the dwelling unit. So I don't know if that helps you, you know, Don, or I know that Greg, you brought that up too. But, you know, I'm just going to fall back on, from staff's point of view, does any of that, you know, exceptional, you know, narrow shelter shape topography, you know, basically make some land within that 300-foot radius unbuiltable. It is a little different than what you guys are used to,
sure.
But, you know, this isn't a property line setback. It's that parameter. That's what we're looking at, not anything else outside of it.
I have to tell you that I'm reluctant to vote in favor of granting the variance, but probably would do so. And it's because we're dealing with an existing improvement that violates the zoning resolution, the requirements, the statutory requirements as well. And I have a difficult time with anything that requires removal of an existing improvement. It's just not going to happen. But I also have a difficult time with that there's an easy way through this. I would still vote to approve it. And it's not because of any of the criteria, it's because of the donation of the parcel to public use. And that to me is admirable. And I'd hate to get in the way of that.
That's good stuff.
Could I add one more thing? Or are we done with?
No, go ahead.
Or Rahel, did you speak?
I'm done.
Okay. You know, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, you know, and to kind of summarize what Tegan was saying. So basically, we're looking at the circle, the 300-foot radius, and just want to see if you guys agree with staff's rationale so far. So even though you basically, it's a 35-acre parcel, you could build anywhere within that. Looking at the zoning and subdivision regulations, we've identified these areas as potential for a hardship because they go against zoning and subdivision regulations, for one. So the skyline area, out, hardship. The stand of trees, out, hardship. This stand of trees, out, hardship. There's some steep lands. Obviously, those are out because of hardship. This little triangle here contains elements of the leach field or septic system, out because of that. And so what we're left with is this piece right here to the northwest of the existing home. It's been the only one that could have potential to be built on.
And that's part of the dedication?
No.
No.
It is not part of the dedication.
That's to remain on the separate 35-acre parcel private. Mr. Harity said that it had been used to access some of those trails, but not from,
not the future circle.
So what we heard, let me just finish up here, from Mr. Harity is that there are expansive soils in this area, and
that because of the steepness of this road and the topography, that there are problems associated with access getting from the road to that piece. And if I'm missing anything else, please let me know. But I'm trying to shrink down the issues of where these problems exist.
You're doing a good job, if I might speak. What Mr. Phillips just said is exactly the process we went through thinking back in the day when we built it. And it came down to the soils thing, but really, we could have built on those soils. They weren't as good as over where we built the house, but it wouldn't have been a deal breaker. The deal breaker for us was 8 years of living with the driveway, realizing if you put a barn there, you cannot service your horses. We had four or five at the time, and you could not guarantee that you could get to the vet or you know, hay could get up there or whatever. So that was what our interpretation was back in the day. And I don't know if that really has bearing for you or not, but it was the criteria that killed it for us. We couldn't, we wanted to put it there because it was closer, because we could walk from the house to there much easier. My wife would have been happier. But we couldn't do it because you're going to kill animals in a trailer if you go down there and have an accident. That was our thought process.
So I just want to point out one thing. If you could go back to the large site plan. So
this right here, this, we were originally going to take ownership of this for giving up this. But my husband and I felt like because now the trailhead is here, we changed the property lines so that the town's people could access the trail system right here instead of driving or walking their children or riding their bikes up 29Z. I mean, 27. And that's why we moved it down here, because now everybody can go direct to that trailhead, and they have been going there. Instead of, they used to come all the way up here to that orange thing where it comes to the road. So that was the only way that we could really shift that and keep the trails safe. That's why we made that difference. So that wasn't going to be on the property originally, but we did the trade-off in hopes that it would keep people safer.
Thank you. We're going to go back to discussion among us.
I think I would be in favor due to the hardships on the other side.
So it takes four out of the five of us to...
Yeah, and I think based on the recent discussions, I think I could go the other way.
So but you're switching views from...
I could approve.
You're switching from a denial to a probable...
For our straw man here.
We did a straw.
Yeah, no, that's what I know. He's switching his straw man.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay.
What about it, Greg?
I'm staying with where I am.
Okay. Anybody want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve this, this variance as... based on the fact that we found hardship overriding any of the other arguments.
Do you want to adopt the rationale set out on page one that the applicant has stated?
On the applicant's narrative?
So again,
you're talking about the applicant's narrative from page 7 of the staff report?
Either that or he's going to have to go through each of the...
Yeah. We can state it in that way. We'll go with the argument on page 7.
Second?
I second the motion to approve.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
The application for variance carries and is granted.
We have to make somebody happy.
All right. We have no administrative report because we have no items scheduled for the future, and we'll have staff contact you when something comes up.
Take a motion to adjourn.
I second.
All right, adjourn.
Go Broncos.